Good morning. The House will come to order. Please stand if you're able, including folks in the gallery. Our flag salute that will this morning will be led by Representative Stigler.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Our opening ceremonies this morning, we're privileged to have the Westland Community Chorus Ensemble. Tina Paradiso is the director. Marianne Oringdolf is the accompanist. They are guests of Representative Bruhn and Representative Kennemer. Welcome.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are very honored to be with you, and I am the director of the Westland Community Chorus, and my name's Tina Paradiso, as you just heard. And we just completed our 2008-2009 concert season featuring music from the Broadway stage, so we thought we'd present to you a selection of tunes based on that concert. Now, sadly, there's no Broadway composer has written a musical on Oregon, based on Oregon. So we did the next best thing. Now, we chose a musical that has something in common with this state, and it starts with an O.
It looks like
would just substitute Oregon for Oklahoma.
Thank you so much, Westland Community Chorus Ensemble. Courtesy is Representative Bruin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, weren't they wonderful? This is, as has been announced, this is the Westland Community Chorus Ensemble. There are about 22 members. They make a portion of the larger Westland Community Chorus. I had the first opportunity to hear these wonderful voices in a church parking lot about a month ago, and they even sound fantastic outside on asphalt. They are led, as was already announced, by Tina Paradiso, and isn't that a great name that's sort of emblematic of the wonderful sound of this ensemble? They have 65 total members. They've been together since 2000, and they do about 2 formal concerts a year in addition to many more numerous smaller pieces like this. So, colleagues, please welcome the Westland Community Chorus Ensemble.
We appreciate your musical service to us. Hope you have time to enjoy the Capitol today as well. For the courtesies, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. I have a page visiting with us here today. You want to stand, Nathan? This is Nathan Fluter. He's 12 from Newburgh, and he attends Chehalem Valley Middle School. He's in the band percussion section. I asked him if he played drums. He said, well, there's other instruments, you know. And I said, well, how about xylophone? Because that one's hard. He says, yeah, he plays xylophone. That one takes good aim. So give him, he doesn't know what he wants to do, but I was suggesting something that... I was making suggestions to him, but he hasn't decided yet. But he's active with his youth church group, and give him a welcome. Thanks.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm privileged today to have 2 honorary pages, both personal friends. First is Isabella Curtis from Portland. She goes to Beaumont Middle School in grade 6. Her interests are playing the drums in the school band, acting, and chorus. Her career goals are to be a lawyer, an actress, or a singer. And I can say being a lawyer and actress kind of fits together, so she should do very, very well there. And she's the redhead in the spiffy sports car here this morning. So the second is Daria Boquist, age 13, from Dallas, goes to Perrydale Middle School in grade 7. She's in girls basketball, the girls basketball manager, loves classic rock music, live sports, and has been photographed with the Blazers, and works in the family business. I don't know how many of you know the Boquist. Everybody works in the family business. Her career goals are to be a Russian interpreter, a musician, or in sports medicine. And I've known Daria a long time. I think she's probably going to do all 3 of them and do that very well. She's obviously the daughter of Senator Brian Boquist, and Peggy Boquist, who I believe is in the side aisle back here. Oh, right here she is, yeah. So please welcome both of them today.
Representative Garrett.
Mr. Speaker, I also have an honorary page, Spencer Kapish, standing in the front. He's a 13-year-old 7th grader at Waluga Junior High School in Lake Oswego, active in basketball, art club, drama, and his church youth group, and would like to be an artist. Welcome to the Capitol, Spencer. Thanks for being here.
And Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I have an honorary page today to stand up. Doolin Clymore. Doolin lives in Sherwood and he's homeschooled in grade 9. He's age 15. He has an interest in music. When I asked him which kind, he said punk and rap. So it's nice to know that some of the punk from the 80s is still remembered and honored. And under career goals, he said, the sky is the limit. And I have no doubt that that's true. Welcome, Doolin.
We welcome all of our pages. Thanks for your service to the House today. Hope you enjoyed this experience in the Capitol. For the courtesies, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to formally thank a staffer of mine who, this is his last day. His name is Marco Kaiser. You've seen him in my office. You may not know that he is a high school student, has been coming down here 3 days a week, comes by bus. To get down here in time, work in my office. He's been a huge help. He's in an E2 program that gives work experience. Marco has been wonderful, and wish him great success in all of his future endeavors, maybe legislative.
Very good. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I first need to extend gratitude to Representative Harker for allowing me to make this introduction of his constituent, but my friend. On the side aisle, I would direct your attention to also Representative Wisnett, but also Daniela Kirstich, who is our reigning Miss Oregon. Daniela is 24. She was born and raised in Bosnia. She moved to the United States in 1998 with her family. She became a U.S. citizen in 2006 and graduated from Oregon Institute of Technology as a dental hygienist. Her platform is Every Child Deserves a Healthy Tomorrow, Facing the Global Health Crisis. Daniela is the Oregon Goodwill Ambassador for the Children's Miracle Network and traveled to Nicaragua and provided dental care to children in need. And I had the opportunity last Saturday with the Linn County Sheriff, Tim Muller, who's been a longtime friend of mine for, a long time, and very long time. And Daniela, the three of us served as the judges for the Lebanon Strawberry Festival Court to pick a queen for Saturday night's coronation. And so we had the opportunity to spend 6 hours together in a very warm upstairs boardroom at a local car dealership. And I've got to tell you how absolutely impressed I was with this young woman. After I put my foot in my mouth and said, "I'm sorry, who are you with?" She said, "Well, I'm Miss Oregon." Very gracious and caring individual. And let me tell you what her bio doesn't say and what you won't find on her website. Miss Oregon makes a bit of a salary, probably similar to legislators, maybe even a little less. But however, she has donated her entire salary for the year for being Miss Oregon to her charity, a fund that she has set up, and the sole purpose of that fund is to improve the quality of life for children in her home country. And she makes visits there, and she is primarily funding a trip for, I think, 60-some kids later this summer, and these are kids that think it's great to get maybe 2 or 3 meals a day. So please, colleagues, welcome her to the House, and I introduce to you our reigning Miss Oregon.
Welcome. Congratulations. Thanks for all your good work. Are there further courtesies? We will return to our moment in Oregon sesquicentennial history. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today's History Minute is adapted from an entry in the Oregon Encyclopedia written by Inara Vrzminiak, a staff writer for the Oregonian, to whom I extend my apologies for not pronouncing her name. And I have to say thank you to the Chief Clerk's Office for allowing me to do this particular moment in Oregon history, which is a source of great pride for everyone in Beaver Nation. Maraschino cherries. Some people say that the maraschino cherry was invented in Oregon. Some say that is a bit of an overstatement. What we can say is that Oregon is the birthplace of the modern maraschino cherry industry, for it was here that the process of making the preserved cherries was perfected. The father of the modern maraschino cherry was an Oregon State University professor named Ernest H. Wiegand. Not long after Wiegand arrived at OSU in 1919, he was approached to solve a problem vexing Oregon cherry growers. The type of cherry that thrived here, the Queen Anne, spoiled quickly and took on a mushy consistency when preserved. Wealthy Americans had brought a taste for the preserved cherries back with them from travels through Europe, where the maraschino is said to have originated, and growers wanted to compete in the growing maraschino cherry market. From 1925 to 1931, Wiegand threw himself into developing a new preservation process. Local food scientists who traced their lineage back to Wiegand are responsible for such developments as the green cherry, which is actually bright red but colored with only natural vegetable juices, and conversely, a bleaching process that allows the cherries to be dyed otherworldly colors. Two of the leading maraschino cherry producers call Oregon home. Gray & Company, with factories in Forest Grove and Dayton, and Oregon cherry growers in Salem. But remember, birthplace, father, Oregon State University, go Beaver Nation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The clerk will now open the voting system for the purpose of verifying the presence of a quorum. Representative Shields. Representative Shields. Off the floor. Excuse for House business, Representative Buckley. All other members are present. Messages from the governor.
I'm sorry.
Messages from the governor. Erase the gavel.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the governor to inform you that it is approved to sign the following bills: House Bill 2040, 2063, 2082, 2133, 2138, 2164, 2168, 2169, 2173, 2176, 2187, 2224, 2273, 2274, 2310, 2340, 2509, 2763, 3020, 3043, and 3063.
Now, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the president to inform you that the Senate has passed House Bills. House Bill 2470, Senate Bills 507, 508, House Bill 2910, 3085, pass the following House Bills as amended by the Senate. House Bill 2817, 2950, 2955, 2999, concurred in House amendments and repassed Senate Bills 125, 323, and 689. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed Senate Bills 72, 104, 115, 120, 122, 127, 128, 151, 159, 601, 663, Senate Bill 5550, 34, 105, 142, 143, 144, 154, 191, 218, 371, 469, 599, 759, SJR 8, and 34.
First reading memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill 2233 and repass the bill.
Representative Beyer moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2233 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment that the Senate put in, there was a lack of information showing that the existing bond level was inadequate. So the Senate removed that part of the bill. And with that, I think this is still a good bill, and we should repass the bill.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Representative Beyer, do you wish to close?
No.
Those who are of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2233 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. House Bill 2233, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions, Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2252 and repass the bill.
Representative Reed moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2252 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Residential Service Protection Fund assists low-income Oregonians in receiving local residential telephone service. The bill went to the Senate and comes back with an amendment that helps line up the bill with decisions made in the Ways and Means Committee. The PUC budget was signed by the governor on May 26th without an expansion in the Residential Service Protection Fund as originally intended. I urge an aye vote on this concurrence so we can keep intact the part of the bill that extends the sunset on the fund. 9 cents of your telephone bill goes to provide adequate, affordable residential phone service to low-income, hearing-impaired Oregonians. The bill will keep that fund going, and the PUC, and we will have the conversation on expanding that sometime in the future. An urge and aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion on the motion. Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the motion.
To the motion.
Colleagues, I carried this bill on the floor of the House, and I will be voting against concurrence. I think it is very important that we send a message that those that are speech impaired and those that are defined in the original bill as hard of hearing have access to the full range of services. That said, I do recognize that the decisions have been made throughout the Ways and Means process, that it is important to extend the sunset, but I will be casting a no vote to indicate that I believe it is important that we extend these services to everybody who needs them in Oregon. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Representative Reed, do you wish to close?
Just to thank the representative from Inner East Side, Portland, for his comments and urge an aye vote.
Those who are of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2252 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? Smith votes aye. Representative Widener, how do you vote? Widener votes no. House Bill 2252, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions, Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2369 and repass the bill.
Representative Holvey moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2369 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2369 was a bill that addressed predatory settlement agreements for bodily injury and motor vehicle accidents, and was negotiated strongly in the House Consumer Protection Committee, sent it over to the Senate, and was assigned to the Committee on Business and Transportation, where I must commend State Farm Insurance for staying at the table and continuing to negotiate some elements of this bill that we negotiated out that actually were negotiated back in on the Senate side and made this a much stronger consumer protection bill. It is a great bill, passed the Senate unanimously. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Representative Holvey, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2369 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Representative Schaffler votes aye. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Representative Springer? Springer votes aye. Representative Jensen votes aye. House Bill 2369, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions, Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2506 and repass the bill.
Representative Tomei moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2506 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 2506B requires health care professional plans to include coverage for licensed professional counselors and licensed family therapists acting within their scope of practice. The Senate amendment clarifies the ability of HMOs to limit the receipt of covered services performed by professional counselors and therapists and eliminates substantive plan benefit and reimbursement differentials applied to the contracting and non-contracting providers.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Representative Barnhart.
Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I hope so.
Thank you, Representative. This bill included licensing requirements and changes, did it not, when it left the House?
Yes.
Further question?
Further question. Does the carrier yield? Does the carrier yield further?
Yes.
She does.
Were any changes made in those provisions in the Senate?
No.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Representative Tomei, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2506 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Wingard, how do you vote? Representative Wingard votes no. House Bill 2506, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions? Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2564 and repass the bill.
Representative Beyer moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2564 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2564 was a workhorse for the House Transportation Committee. We had amended it to deal with operating hours of the Department of Environmental Quality Inspection Centers, synchronizing Oregon definitions with federal law for trucks carrying hazardous cargo, and it now has picked up another rider along its way that exempts out-of-state licensed automobile dealers and their authorized representatives from Oregon vehicle dealer licensing requirements when participating in a vehicle auction held by a certified vehicle dealer. I urge that you approve and vote to concur.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Representative Beyer does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2564 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Hannah, how do you vote? Hannah votes aye. House Bill 2564, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions? First reading of House bills.
House Bill 3496 relating to health insurance. House Bill 3497 relating to motor vehicle fuel.
Bills read for the first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2004 relating to checkoff on income tax returns for political contribution and prescribing effectivity. House Bill 2116 relating to health care assessment, appropriate money prescribing effectivity and provided for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority.
Bills read for the second time or passed the third reading calendar. The consent calendar. Colleagues, we have one bill on the consent calendar. I'm sorry. Chair requests unanimous consent first to return to the order of second readings for purpose of second reading of House bills to make unanimous consent requests. Is there any objection to return to the order of second reading of House bills? Seeing none, so ordered. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and two bills, House Bill 3004 and House Bill 3232, again, House Bill 3004 and House Bill 3232 be read for the second time immediately. Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 3004 relating to sales of foreclosed property and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3232 relating to Oregon Health Licensing Agency.
Bills read for the second time or also passed the third reading calendar. Now the consent calendar. We have one item on the consent calendar. There was a slight misstatement in the third reading alert of an amendment that was made to the bill. So I'm planning to make a motion so we can, it doesn't change the intent. I think if we give the chair of the committee an opportunity to explain what that is and then anybody can ask questions. So my motion is just going to be to move that to the third reading calendar where that can actually occur because it can't occur on the consent calendar. So the chair requests unanimous consent that House Bill 876B be moved from the consent calendar to the first order of business under third reading of Senate bills. And that requires a rule suspension. So my motion would be to suspend the rules in order to do that. Is there objection to that rule suspension? Hearing none, so ordered. So we will have, you can just write on your third reading list, Senate Bill 876 will come up as the first item under third reading of Senate bills. Third reading of House bills. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2003 relating to use of land.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2003. Representative Stigler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill. Colleagues, I rise today to urge passage of House Bill 2003. This is a small bill which will do fairly significant things in the realm of land use. Specifically, for about four decades, this state has had a history of encouraging landowners, public and private, to allow the use of their lands to the public for recreational purposes. This intent was codified in statute nearly 15 years ago, where the Legislative Assembly at that time declared it to be the public policy of the state to encourage owners to make their land available to the public for recreational purposes, including wood cutting, harvesting of special forest products, and such things as hunting, fishing, swimming, boating, camping, etc. To support this policy, the Legislative Assembly granted immunity about 15 years ago from personal injury, death, or property damages to landowners, public and private, that permit the public to use their land for these purposes. In late 2006, a Supreme Court case here in Oregon interpreted the existing statute to exclude the property used to access these areas that are used for recreational purposes. In other words, if you cross one landowner's property to get to a place like a beach on a river or something like that that is owned by another person or by the public to recreate, that the Supreme Court case said that property that you crossed to get to the property open for public recreation was not protected by the same statutory immunity. So what this bill does is bring those pieces of property, public or private, in other words, the land used to access these recreational sites, it brings them under the same statutory immunity from liability for personal injury, death, and such. All fiscal implications have been removed from this legislation. There was no opposition in the Rules Committee. I it's a good bill. It will serve public and private landowners across this state, and I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Stigler, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Barton votes aye. Representative Springer votes aye. Representative Bailey, how do you vote? Bailey votes aye. House Bill 2003, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. The chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of SCR 15 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Monday, June 8th, 2009's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 507 relating to preferred providers and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 508 relating to health insurance.
Bills read for the first time or passed. The speaker's asked for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 38 relating to climate change declaring emergency. Senate Bill 306 relating to attorney fees. Senate Bill 314 relating to accident reports. Senate Bill 391 relating to exotic animals. Senate Bill 618 relating to military discharge records and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 773 relating to legal expense trust funds and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 869 relating to ankling.
Bills read for the second time or passed. The third reading calendar. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 876 relating to immunosuppressant drugs and declaring an emergency.
So just a note, if you're following the list, this is Senate Bill 876, Representative Greenlee. The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 876, Representative Greenlee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to put on the record the paragraph that is shown here describing that bill is incorrect. The first two and a half sentences were amended out of the bill. It turned out we didn't need to put that in statute. That's policy of DHS. Anyway, what the bill does is it moves DHS to make a more rapid decision on the extent to which the bill does meet that policy. And it's a good bill. I urge you to vote yes. I just didn't want you to be voting on something that actually wasn't in the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for giving me that opportunity.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Greenlee, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Hanna, how do you vote? Hanna votes aye. Representative Bruin votes aye. Senate Bill 876, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 512, relating to disclosure of information about students involved in justice system and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 512B. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it's really important that first I let you know that Senate Bill 512 has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that we do maraschino cherries in the Dalles, and that was skipped over earlier in the history minute. But back to the business at hand. Senate Bill 1092 was an effort to protect our kids in school by requiring the DA to report to school administrators if a youth has a violation in juvenile court. We knew there would be problems with Senate Bill 1092 in February of 2008. And as a part of the bill, we asked or directed the Law Commission to form a work group and make necessary changes. And Senate Bill 512A is that fix, and the tremendous work of that work group with the Law Commission and many others. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Huffman, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Senate Bill 512B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 566, relating to urban growth boundary management in Metropolitan Service District and prescribing an effective date.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 566A. Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, check your feet. They might be a little cold. I think I did see a cat and dog playing together right outside the building this morning. Yes, I am carrying a bill for Metro. As you will recall, the legislature last session passed Senate Bill 1011, which allows Metro and the three counties of the Portland region to jointly determine where the region will and will not grow over the next 40 to 50 years. The local governments of the region, along with many stakeholders from the private and nonprofit sectors, are currently engaged in a monumental and very expensive effort to designate urban reserves, or areas that will be first in line when the region's urban growth boundary is expanded, as well as rural reserves, the important agricultural lands that will be off limits to urbanization for several decades. The old rules require the region to choose land for urbanization based on the quality of its agricultural soil, not its appropriateness for urban development. Senate Bill 1011 fixed that by directing future urban growth based on the suitability of land for the creation of great communities while protecting the land that is critical for the viability of the farm economy. However, one thing was missed with Senate Bill 1011. It is possible to interpret the so-called hierarchy of lands, quote, in the bill in such a way as to force the region right back into the debate over soil quality that SB 1011 was intended to solve. Hence the bill before you today. Senate Bill 566 clarifies that after urban reserves have been designated under the new process established in Senate Bill 1011, when the region moves to bring these reserves into the urban growth boundary, we won't be required to argue about which urban reserves to bring into the boundary based on soil type. From the perspective of the land use laws, the bill says that all urban reserves are created equal, and the region can consider what areas to urbanize based on the suitability of land for urban development. That's what was intended with Senate Bill 1011, and that's what this bill does. Senate Bill 566 passed your land use committee on a unanimous vote and has no known opposition. Colleagues, even a spell checker at an M&M factory can tell you this is a good bill. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Wingard, do you wish to close? Representative Wingard, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes aye. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Wisnett votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Representative Boone, how do you vote? Boone votes aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Representative Berger votes aye. Senate Bill 566, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 605, relating to nurses.
Question now rises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 605A. Representative Broun.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, right now, qualified nurse practitioners and clinical nurses may be granted the privilege of writing prescriptions as long as these nurses have met certain education and training requirements, including a dispensing training program. Under current law, these nurses must personally hand these prescriptions to patients if they are not dispensed directly by a pharmacist or through a pharmacy. Senate Bill 605A changes the requirement that these nurses must personally dispense prescriptions to patients and will allow staff assistants to dispense under certain circumstances. Allowing nurses to delegate this responsibility, when appropriate, will create greater opportunities for patient access, especially in rural communities throughout the state. It is unreasonable to patients to require a visit only when the nurse is available to dispense medication. Delegating this responsibility will allow appropriately trained clinic staff to administer prescriptions, allowing greater patient access and decreasing the financial burden on clinics that have clinicians on call. Patient access is the primary concern in bringing forward this bill, and I urge your eye support of Senate Bill 605.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Broun, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Barton votes aye. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes aye. Senate Bill 605A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 735, relating to the Oregon Prescription Drug Program and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 735A. Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 735A is what may be our last look at the Oregon Oregon Prescription Drug Program that we began with Senate Bill 875 in the 2003 session. The Oregon Prescription Drug Program has been a program that has allowed thousands of Oregonians to get great discounts on pharmaceuticals and has been very helpful to some groups as well. We began it in a fairly limited way in the 2003 session. We expanded it with an initiative between the 2005-2007 session. In 2007, we expanded it once again to allow more groups to take advantage of this. During that same time period, the program created a contract with the state of Washington and expanded the scope of it. This is, I think, the final or the penultimate stage of this. This bill is important because it allows the state to use its purchasing power together, and to use market forces to help reduce the cost of drugs to people that don't have prepaid drug coverage. This bill does two things. It allows the state purchasing pools, PEB and OWEB, to use the services of the Oregon Prescription Drug Program for their programs. This is particularly important with PEB, which is moving towards a self-insured program toward the end, early in 2010. And it also takes away a restriction that does not allow OPDP to use pharmacy benefits manager. This is particularly important because we've had a problem in rural areas. The pharmacies in eastern and central Oregon have been disadvantaged by the fact that the program has not been able to negotiate different rates for example, a pharmacy in Heppner and in Condon and in that area because of the administrative structure of the program. This bill will allow the use of a pharmacy benefits manager by the Oregon Prescription Drug Program and therefore will allow the ability to manage to negotiate individual rates and prices with different pharmacies throughout the state. The program has been a success. There was no opposition to this bill, and I urge you to join with me in a yes vote on Senate Bill 735A. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I have to share with you very quickly before I begin that the good chair from the historic Tualatin County is being humble. He is being extraordinarily humble. Senate Bill 735 is a significant piece of legislation for a handful of small, rural, frontier counties. Those counties include Morrow County and Gillum County, Wheeler County, Grant County, Wallowa County, and Harney County. Your vote today for Senate Bill 735 is going to send a message to those small rural counties, sharing with them your support of their continued existence. Now, what do I mean by that? It was about a year ago, I was notified by a small rural pharmacist by the name of John Murray and his wife, Ann Murray. They operate a pharmacy in Heppner, Oregon, my hometown. They also operate a pharmacy in Condon and also in Prairie City. And they were notified by the state of Oregon that they were going to be asked to participate in a reimbursement program for prescription medicine at a rate that was not commensurate with meeting their fixed costs. And so they're the only pharmacy in rural frontier Oregon. They were asked to assist in participating in this program, but it was done at a rate that did not cover their expense and would not allow them to participate. Well, I have to tell you, colleagues, Senate Bill 735 steps up, and with just a handful of words, approximately 19 words in one section and 26 words in another section, it deals with this issue. And if I just may very quickly share with you what those words are. In Section 1, page 2, lines 28 and 29, it says, "The administrator may establish different program prices for pharmacies in rural areas to maintain statewide access to the program." And then further down, on lines 43, 44, and 45, it says, "Contracting with a pharmacy benefit manager and directly or indirectly with such pharmacy networks as the administrator considers necessary to maintain statewide access to the program." Colleagues, as a result of our good chair's willingness to allow that language to be included in Senate Bill 735, he has taken a great step in maintaining access to rural health care in frontier Oregon. Now, I know time is ticking by and there's many bills that need to be heard, but I need to take a moment and share gratitude to the many, many people who have helped pass Senate Bill 35. I'd like to first thank the good chair from the historic Tualatin County, Chair Greenlick. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your willingness to listen and consider the issues and also to provide guidance to me as we are advancing this piece of legislation. I'd also like to thank Chair Morissette on the Senate side, who sat down with me one-on-one and talked with me about the best methodology to ensure that rural Oregon continued to receive the assistance it needed. Now, if you'll join me, I want to roll back a year earlier. Tremendous gratitude goes out to Dr. Janine Smith and to Dr. Bruce Goldberg. These two individuals on multiple occasions drove out to rural Oregon, sat down with local pharmacists, small business owners, educators, and the public at large to assist in making sure that the language we needed in Senate Bill 735 was technically accurate. I'd like to thank Mr. Ray Knapp from the governor's office, who at 6:45 in the morning in John Day, Oregon, took time to understand the issue. So that way the governor would have an understanding of what was about to proceed forward out of the eastern part of the state. I'd also like to thank the Office of Rural Health for their important input. Now, there's a few more individuals just very quickly I want to thank in this. First and foremost, I want to thank Representative Thompson. Representative, I genuinely appreciate the input you have provided on this very important piece of legislation. I'd like to thank you for your guidance. I'd like to thank you for your intellect. I have to share with you, colleagues, unless you've been involved in this type of discussion.
Representative Barker yields.
Thank you, Mr. Barker, Representative Barker. Unless you have been involved in these type of issues historically, this stuff is very complex and very difficult to understand. Representative Thompson, you did a fabulous job helping to take a complex subject and to make it understandable. Representative Huffman and Representative Maurer also deserve equal credit for once again helping to shepherd Senate Bill 735A along. Representative Maurer and I share many of the areas that have been discussed today, and Representative Maurer and I flipped a coin, and he allowed me to share our sentiment and our appreciation with each of you today. Finally, I'd like to thank two more individuals, and that is the Murrays. I want to share with you, the Murrays are small business owners who operate these rural pharmacies in Frontier, Oregon, and you could not find better citizens in the state. Their motivation in advancing Senate Bill 735 wasn't profit. It wasn't profit. It was viability. It was maintaining access into rural Oregon. When it's time to donate money into Gillum County or Morrow County or Wheeler County or Grant County or time or talent, it's the Murrays who are stepping up and are always the first ones at the table. By us passing Senate Bill 735, we're going to assist a rural pharmacist in continuing to remain a viable small business. Finally, I'd like to thank our teachers in South Morrow County who have been tremendously patient as this bill has proceeded forward. Our small school teachers have continued to do all they can to assist with their business and with their prescription activity to continue to maintain using this small rural pharmacy. Colleagues, I know I've gone on way too far, but each and every one of you have a take-home bill. This was a take-home bill for me. Mr. Speaker, thank you very much for allowing Senate Bill 735 to advance, and thank you to each of you who have had a hand in making Senate Bill 735 the success that it is. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to underline one piece of what the good representative from District 57 was emphasizing. For those of you, particularly who come from urban areas where services are a little more easy to obtain, we have a number of counties in Oregon now that have only one pharmacy in the entire county. It's kind of incongruous at a time that we're trying to beef up rural health care, that we're subsidizing nurses and physicians to go to these rural areas and practice, but the prescriptions they write have to be driven 90 miles or more to be filled. If we lose any more rural pharmacies, and we've been losing them at an alarming rate over the past couple of years, those distances increase to 150 or 200 miles to get the prescription filled. The importance of having a physician in your immediate community once or twice a week is kind of dulled with the idea that if you get a prescription, you're in deep trouble. The other option that we have through OPDP, of course, is mail order. We're very I was surprised to find when I was out in Representative Smith's district to find that many of the ranches out there only get mail delivery 3 days a week. In the harsh part of the winter, they don't get mail delivery at all. They have to drive to whatever the nearest mail city or post office is to pick up their mail. So mail delivery of prescription drugs is not necessarily an option there either. So this is a real bad situation that we're making steps to correct. OPDP has come on board with this. I think we're doing the right thing, moving in the right direction. It's going to help a lot of people over a lot of square miles. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Greenlick, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Jensen? Representative Jensen, off the floor. Senate Bill 735A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 821, relating to health care expense agreements and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 821A. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is a good bill that will support people who are trying to do the right thing in owning their future health care and responsibility for paying their health care premiums and other expenses after they retire. Senate Bill 821 allows people to set up medical trust accounts. Good bill. Should pass. Urge your aye support.
Is there further discussion? Questions? Seeing none, Representative Cameron does not wish to close. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? Smith votes aye. Representative Dembro, how do you vote? Representative Dembro? Representative Dembro, off the floor. Representative Cannon, how do you vote? Cannon votes aye. Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Esquivel votes aye. Senate Bill 821A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill. I'm sorry, the chair requests unanimous consent that the next bill, Senate Bill 867, that the rules be suspended and that that bill be taken from this morning's calendar and be placed in its proper place on this afternoon's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 44, relating to kindergarten and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 44A. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 44 is an important bill that will extend the ability for local school districts to continue to offer their full-day kindergarten programs at a fee. It also will allow the Superintendent of Public Instruction to appoint a committee that may include non-voting legislative members to look at how we can move towards offering full-day kindergarten in the state of Oregon. This bill does not require full-day kindergarten. It does not require any new expenditures from local school districts. But what it does allow is for school districts to continue their current practice of offering a tuition-based full-day kindergarten option for students, which means that many Oregon students will be able to continue this opportunity. It is a good bill, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I voted against this bill in the last session because I thought, although I support full-day kindergarten and I support the idea of creating a task force to look at implementation of kindergarten, the reason I vote against it last time and I'll vote against it this time is schools are supposed to be public schools. And to the extent you're allowing precedent and continuing a precedent to allow charging tuition and fees for a public school, I think that is a dangerous and poor precedent, and for that reason I'll be opposing this bill.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gelser does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Cameron votes aye. Representative Cowan votes no. Representative Bailey, how do you vote? Bailey votes no. Representative Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 44A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 177, relating to practice of social work.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 177B. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I bring you today Senate Bill 177B, which protects consumers by enhancing the regulation of social workers in Oregon. Oregonians frequently utilize the services of a social work professional in times of crisis or distress, and they need to be able to trust that the person providing assistance has the education, the expertise, and the ethical standards to meet their needs. Currently, the state only regulates those who use the title of licensed clinical social worker or clinical social work associate. This leaves a large segment of caregivers who call themselves social workers but are unregulated and unlicensed. This bill allows, on a voluntary basis, those non-clinical social workers at the bachelor's or master's level who are not currently under the jurisdiction of the board and who want the regulatory oversight to obtain it. In addition, the bill defines a regulated social worker and mandates licensure for those who engage in the practice of clinical social work. It also prevents those with revoked licenses from engaging in the practice of social work. Clergy and those who hold other appropriate licenses or certifications, such as certified alcohol and drug counselors, are exempt. Colleagues, Oregon is one of only seven states that does not protect against the unlicensed practice of social work. Stakeholders worked hard in the interim to craft this licensure and Limited Practice Act. It is a good bill, and it comes to you unanimously from your very own House Human Services Committee, and I urge your resounding aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Tomei, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will resoundingly vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Roblin votes aye. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Representative Barton votes aye. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes aye. Senate Bill 177B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 208, relating to suspension of driving privileges.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 208A. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 208 amends ORS 809.411, directing the Department of Transportation, upon receipt of a record of conviction for fleeing or attempting to elude a police officer, which is ORS 411.411. 540, which I know you all know that, to suspend the offender's driver's license for 3 years from the date of suspension. This bill ties into the intent of what Senate Bill 245, which increases the same traffic crime to a level 7 on the sentencing grid when the driving conduct demonstrated extreme indifference to the value of human life. Urge an aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I simply just want to point out that recently in Sandy, Oregon, we just had a specific incident of indifference to life, and a mother and her daughter were killed in a car accident.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Widener, how do you vote? Widener votes aye. Representative Comp, how do you vote? Comp votes aye. Representative Girard, how do you vote? Girard votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Beyer votes aye. Senate Bill 208A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 373, relating to orders to withhold.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 373. 3A. Again, that's 373A. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 373A comes to you from your House Judiciary Committee, where it passed unanimously. This measure makes an employer liable to both parents when the employer fails to pay the Support Enforcement Division in a timely manner wages withheld as a result of a support enforcement order. This bill restates current law that employer is liable for failing to withhold wages and for withholding too much. It eliminates the cap on damages for employer withholding violations. It provides that in addition to liability for amounts improperly paid, the employer is also liable for any damages suffered by the employee or the parent receiving the support. This bill was brought to us, I believe, by the Oregon Department of Justice and the Attorney General, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Shields does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Buckley votes aye. Senate Bill 373A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 400, relating to shellfish.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 400A. Representative Boone.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, this is a simple little bill, but it does a great thing for our veterans. And what it does is it authorizes the State Fish and Wildlife Commission to issue a recreational shellfish license to resident disabled veterans with at least a 25% disability rating. That's all it does. It's a great thing to do for our vets, disabled vets.
Is there further discussion? Representative Freeman.
Next one.
Representative Freeman is fine. Other discussion? Representative, seeing none, Representative Boone, do you wish to close?
I'm only just to ask you please to support this bill.
Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Representative Roblin votes aye. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes aye. Senate Bill 400A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and Senate Bill 428 be taken from this morning's calendar and be placed in its proper place on this afternoon's calendar. Senate Bill 428, is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 538, relating to physical education and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 538A. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, in the past 15 years, a number of studies have been conducted on the connection between children's exercise levels and mental and intellectual performance. Senate Bill 538 directs the Department of Education to seek public and private funding for the purpose of implementing programs that link physical activity and academic achievement and to provide information to school districts on funds available. Good bill should pass. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Huffman does not wish to close. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Representative Shields is off the floor. Representative Van Orman votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Representative Thatcher is off the floor. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Barton votes aye. Representative, that is it. Senate Bill 538A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 636, relating to marks used in commerce and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 636A. Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 636 passed the Senate and House Judiciary Committees without opposition. It is a product of a work group comprised of representatives from the Secretary of State and the DOJ, as well as intellectual property lawyers and professors. This bill brings Oregon statutes in line with federal law, as well as the 2007 revision to the Model State Trademarks Bill. It is an overhaul of Oregon's trademark statute that will update and align the statute with federal law and the laws of many other states. Among other things, it will provide a needed clarification to the law regarding trademark dilution principles. I urge an aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barton does not wish to close. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Reed, how do you vote? Reed votes aye. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Schaffler votes aye. Representative Van Orman, how do you vote? Van Orman votes aye. Representative Greg Smith votes aye. Representative Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 636A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 691, relating to compensation for the loss of valued private forest land resulting from regulation of forest practices.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 691A. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, good morning. Senate Bill 691 makes several relatively modest changes to Ballot Measure 49, which was approved by Oregon voters in November of 2007. Specifically, Senate Bill 691 modifies Measure 49 in the following few ways. Number one, Measure 49 claims could be based on any future statute or rule adopted solely for the purpose of regulating forest practices, not just Forest Practices Act amendments. Number two, forest practices claims would be allowed even if the highest and best use of the property is something else. Number three, reductions in fair market value associated with future forest practices regulations could be determined through an appraisal conducted in accordance with generally accepted forest industry practices for making such determinations. Four, claims could only be filed by owners whose acquisition date precedes the adoption of the regulation on which the claim is based, but waivers obtained by such owners could be transferred to subsequent owners. And five, forest practices claims could be filed based on the loss of value to a lawfully established unit of land that includes the portion of the property affected by the regulation, not the entire parcel. Senate Bill 691 passed the Senate 29-1 on May 5th and was unanimously reported out of the House Land Use Committee on May 26th. The bill has the support, among others, Oregon Forest Industries Council, 1,000 Friends of Oregon, Defenders of Wildlife, and Oregonians in Action. Colleagues, this is a good bill that deserves your support. I urge an aye vote on Senate Bill 691.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Hanna, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes aye. Senate Bill 691A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 763, relating to transferable development credits and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 763A. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, colleagues. Senate Bill 763, the Transfer of Development Credits Bill, is an important piece of legislation that will provide communities with a new market-based method to help preserve resources while simultaneously planning for growth and development. Transfer of development credit programs simply allow a landowner to sell credits from a piece of land that a community wishes to protect to a piece of land that the community desires to see developed. Purchasers of such development credits gain development opportunities they would not otherwise be allowed. Sellers of credits obtain a market price for their foregone development opportunities. After credits are transferred, conservation easements are attached to resource land to protect it from development in perpetuity. Lands can thus be protected for farm, forest, and other natural resource uses, historic and scenic values. Transfer of development credit programs are strictly voluntary at both the community level and the landowner level. Colleagues, this bill was developed with bipartisan support by the Interim House Committee on Agriculture, and it comes to you with unanimous support from your Committee on Land Use. I urge your support.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Nolan, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. Speaker, there was some discussion in committee around what could be slightly ambiguous language in the bill around a reference to conservation strategy, and I wanted to make it clear, as I did in committee before the vote was taken there, that it is the intent of the legislature in this bill, when referring to Oregon conservation strategy, to include all elements of the Oregon conservation strategy as adopted by the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. With that, I urge your aye vote.
Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Representative Wisnett votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Cannon, how do you vote? Cannon votes aye. Senate Bill 763A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 929, related to the billing of tenants for water.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 929B. Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 929B comes out of your Consumer Protection Committee with a near unanimous recommendation. It would require a manufactured dwelling park landlords to use submetering as billing method when landlord assesses tenant utility or service charge for water. Limits the application of the measure to manufactured dwelling parks with 200 or more spaces and would require compliance by December 31st of 2012. Now, this came out of the Senate, and we had our good Senator, Senator Bonamici bring it to us. It came out of the Senate with a 25-4 vote. And there were several issues discussed. Now, I've had a few people ask me some questions in advance. I told them I would include those in this presentation, which I will do. One thing we did was consider the cost of submetering, and was there ever a study? And the reality is, yes, there was. The study was in 2008 by Santa Clara Valley Water District, and it reviewed the effects of submetering on five mobile home parks with anywhere between 99 and 433 spaces each. That totaled 1,187 installations. Now, what the study resulted in was it showed that the cost of submetering the parks averaged $172 per unit, which included $57 per meter, $103 for the installation, and $12 for the permit necessary. For all the households participating in the study, the water use was reduced by an average of 22.5%, with subsequent reductions in water bills of nearly one quarter. So in a sense, you can see that over time, first of all, this is going to identify water leaks and do a better job of that. When you have one system spreading out to 200 units or more, you're going to have potential leaks in the system, and you can have some issues of integrity compromised. Therefore, submetering makes sense, and it also bills folks based on the water they're using, not the water they're losing. The question about family-owned parks versus corporations. Senate Bill 929 would apply to parks with more than 200 or more spaces. So 200 or more spaces. We heard from privately owned parks in the committee, some that were larger than 200 spaces, in response to the concerns that they expressed, which had more to do with time of implementation. We had changed that implementation date and furthered it one more year to give additional time for the preparation necessary to convert to the submetering. Beyond that, a big concern also was passing costs on to tenants and what would that mean. And could that be done? Actually, it can be done. The current Oregon law provides that the cost of submetering may be passed on to tenants. However, there's some safeguards for those tenants. One is that landlords must give 180 days notice of the conversion, so 6 months notice of the conversion. Beyond that, if the cost of the water was previously been included in the rent must be reduced proportionately if that bill reflects. And the other is the capital cost of the conversion cannot be added to the rent for 6 months after the conversion. So again, it's 180 days notice. And again, remember too that submetering, the concept is to identify flaws, faults in the system, saving water, ultimately saving money. So it does get passed on to the consumer, but over time, their water reduction saves them the money necessary to pay for the system. So having said that, again, I'd remind you that this came from the Senate with a 25-4 vote. It came to you near unanimous out of our Consumer Protection Committee, and I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 929B.
Further discussion? Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I would just encourage you to think very carefully before you cast your vote on this bill, especially if you have a mobile home park within your district. And I know many of us have a number of them. What this bill is going to do is to require larger parks, anything over 200, it's going to require the owner to make some very, very serious infrastructure upgrades to submeter. Now, the reality of our mobile home parks, typically, is that they tend to be older, they've been around for a while, and the infrastructure within them is aging. Also, the people within the parks tend to be low-income folks, seniors, people on fixed incomes. They're very sensitive to rent increases. The owner is going to have to go in and dig up the streets to do this submetering. Now, when that happens, it's very likely that when you go into aging systems and you start tinkering around with them, there are going to be other breaks, other problems. The cost will not just be the submetering, but other things that occur. I would also submit that if you're an owner and you have been compelled to go in and dig up the streets and do a major infrastructure work, you're going to do all the other things that were on your list of things you were thinking about doing this decade or next decade as well, because as long as you're going in to do something that's significant, you're going to do the other things that you need to do as well. All of that is going to be passed on in rental increases to your constituents. The intent of this bill is, it's well-intentioned, and I understand that it is the result of a desire to get at a couple, just a handful of parks, in which there is a belief among the tenants that there are significant leaks going on and that the owner is not doing much about that because he or she is just passing that along in the rent. I offered an amendment in committee that would have allowed tenants in those parks to sign a petition that would have been anonymous, and it would have required the public utility to come in, the water utility, and identify if there are leaks and require the owner to fix them. I think what we need to do is to focus on just those places where there might be a problem and get that problem fixed. My concern about this bill is, well, it's going to be a jobs bill, I suppose, and require a lot of work to occur in these parks, but it is your low-income tenants who are going to bear the cost of that work, and most of them have not complained about this issue and are not concerned about it and aren't asking for it. So with that, as another representative likes to say, you're all good Americans, vote your conscience.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Matthews, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. A reminder on this bill is that we heard from the mobile home park communities, we heard from the landlords, the tenants involved in this, and that resulted in us extending this out 1 year to 2012. And that was because they wanted time to come to consensus further on how to implement the strategy, but nobody was saying this was a bad idea. This is about, again, protecting the integrity of a system, identifying the leaks and the problems, reducing water usage, and reducing the bills for our tenants that I think we agree. And in many cases, some of these folks don't have a great deal of income. However, the money they're going to spend in this program is going to be money saved in the long run. And again, I do urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes no. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote?
No.
Gilliam votes no. Representative Van Orman, how do you vote? Van Orman votes aye. Senate Bill 929B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 24, related to health benefit plan coverage of telemedical services.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 24A. Representative Kenemer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Senate Bill 24A comes to you from your health care committee with unanimous support. It's about telemedicine. It requires that commercial insurers in Oregon reimburse providers for appropriate services that are provided through telemedicine. The bill does not impact Medicare, Medicaid, or the self-insured. Telemedicine is defined as the use of real-time, two-way video communication in which the practitioner can directly assess the patient. It requires health insurance benefits to reimburse for medically necessary evidence-based telemedicine services if services covered for in-person service. There is not a distinction between services delivered to patients in rural or urban areas. provider fees for telemedicine services shall be negotiated between the payer and provider at the time the contract is negotiated. Passage of the bill will impact the 42% of Oregonians who are covered by some form of commercial insurance. Lack of adequate reimbursement for telemedicine services severely restricts ability and willingness of consulting physicians to participate in providing services to our underserved rural and urban areas. The benefits of telemedicine will be increased access to healthcare services in both rural and underserved communities. It will save time, travel, and many other expenses, keeps dollars right there in the local community, aids business recruitment and retention, encourages healthcare providers to practice in rural and underserved communities, will help reduce hospitalizations, emergency visits, critical care transports, and other related healthcare costs, and eliminates or reduces duplicate testing. I urge your aye vote.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Kennemore, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Representative Olson. Off the floor. Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Esquivel votes no. Representative Gilliam votes no. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Barton votes aye. Senate Bill 24A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Before I take the recess motion, are there any announcements? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Republicans, we will caucus at the noon hour, so please take this opportunity to get your lunch and come to the caucus room.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Democrats, 12 o'clock high. Caucus, please.
Any further announcements? Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, the Subcommittee on Human Services in Ways and Means will convene at 1:15 today. 1:15, not 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Seeing none, Representative Jensen, recess to 1 p.m., please.
Madam Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 1 p.m. this afternoon.
Representative Jensen moves the House stand in recess until 1 p.m. this afternoon. Without objection, the House will stand in recess.